I'm Matt Bush with BPR News. I'm speaking with Dr. Chris Cooper of Western Carolina University. We talked to him about political science, as he is a political scientist. But today we're also talking to him about a book he co-wrote 3 years ago called The Resilience of Southern Identity, and how that is kind of playing out right now in one particular with one particular word. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, great to be here, Matt.
The word, of course, is Dixie. Now, this has come back in as so much of the identity and the symbols and the statues and the history of the South has come back into focus really in the last couple months through the racial justice protests. We're seeing it ripple out in many different ways. One of the most noteworthy now is that the band The Chicks has dropped Dixie from their name. As part of the book you co-wrote 3 years ago, The Resilience of Southern Identity, you looked at the word Dixie versus the word Southern in a couple different instances. First, tell us what the book studied about these two words.
Yeah, so we're trying to figure out really, does Southern identity still exist? Why? And kind of how are people expressing their Southern identity? And so one way we did this was to map out business names. So businesses that have the word Dixie in them. So, you know, if you are a Dixie Lumber Company, you would be included in our data set. And we compared that to businesses that have the word Southern in them. So Southern Lumber, for example, used to be a business here in Jackson County. This was a technique that a sociologist named John Shelton Reed started doing in the 1970s. And so we kind of updated it. And what we found was a real decline in Dixie businesses, a process that that a geographer at the University of Tennessee has called deconfederatization. And of course, that is going to ring true as we think about monuments, as we think about statues, as we think about this broader debate. And so we've seen that in Dixie. What I mean by that is we've seen a decline, really a large decline, in the businesses using the term Dixie. We did some interviews with folks and asked them kind of why that is, why they might be changing their names. And of course, being aware of the racial connotations and the history of the word was a primary driver. At the same time, that doesn't mean, we argue, that that Southern identity is going away. Just because Dixie's declining doesn't mean that the South or the idea of the South is declining. And so as we've seen this deconfederatization, we've seen what we call re-Southernization. What I mean is there's actually an increase in the number of businesses using the term Southern. So many of these are African-American-owned businesses. And so the idea here is that to be Southern does not necessarily mean to be associated with the term Dixie. And so I would expect that over the next few years, we're going to see that even more, probably a larger decline in Dixie and a larger increase, I would imagine, in Southern.
What really is the difference between the two words?
You know, I think the connotations. Obviously, Dixie has a history. It has been associated with the Old South. It's been associated with racism, frankly, and with slavery. There's a few different stories about where the term actually came from, but I think everybody agrees that it sort of caught fire with the song Dixie, which you know, which has been used as a racist song that has been used to signify a connection to the Old South, a South of racial hierarchy. And whereas Southern doesn't have quite the same connotation for folks. So one thing we found in a different part of the book is that African Americans in the South actually express Southern identity more than they used to. So again, to express a Southern identity is not necessarily to express an identity that is consistent with Dixie or with kind of ideas of the Old South.
Boy, that fits so much into the discussions right now, kind of about everything that's going on around monuments, around symbols, around kind of just everything. So going forward, you said, one, you see more, probably less use of the word Dixie, more use of the word Southern. But within some of the other things you just mentioned there, where does this move forward towards with how people are going to express Southern identity?
You know, I think we're all trying to rethink what it means, and I think one thing we need to do is to make sure that we're putting African-American understandings of the region first, or at the very least co-equal with white understandings of the region. I think for too often, for too long, when people have said Southern identity, they tend to think about white Southern identity. And the reality, of course, is that the South is a very diverse region, and that African-Americans own the term Southern just as much as whites do. And so when we think about this re-Southernization, again, you can see this in Asheville, right? I mean, it's hard to throw a rock without hitting a restaurant that calls itself Southern in some way or has Southern-inspired food. And those are restaurants owned, of course, by African-Americans and by whites and by people of other races. So I would expect that we're going to see kind of a continued growth in kind of expanding the idea of who is Southern and what is Southern.
Just an interesting note, what I always found quite fascinating about the book is you're finding that Southern food is the only type of food where black and white people agree on as Southern, whereas
Yeah.
as traditions. Explain that a little further. I did a poor job of doing it there, but
No,
what
no.
that means, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so it's really interesting. If you look at places where northern whites and southern whites are similar versus southern African Americans and southern whites are similar, it looks like food is something that drives people together in the South. And so we see this in our data. For example, if you ask people, you know, how often do you eat the following foods, something as simple as that, there's remarkable consistency between black and white southerners, whereas white southerners and white non-southerners have very, very different views of food and what they eat. You ask people, whites in the north, do you eat kielbasa? They're going to say, yeah. You ask people, whites in the south, do you eat kielbasa? They're going to say, I don't even know where to buy kielbasa, much less to eat it. So food, I think, drives different races in the South together. These kind of food ways and folk ways, I think, can unite us. So we saw that in data with surveys. We also saw that in focus groups. So when we would talk to black Southerners and white Southerners and say, what does it mean to be Southern? It's remarkable how often people go to these food ways and folk ways. They go to food, they go to manners, they go to things that may not seem that important at first, but I think they can drive folks together. So amidst this much broader conversation and argument over Confederate symbols and Confederate flags, I think it's important that we all remember that you don't necessarily need to lose your Southern identity as we see de-Confederatization on the landscape. I think there are ways, certainly African Americans have found ways for over a century to identify with the South at the same time to push away from the Old South.
And my last question on this is how much, and maybe Asheville and Western North Carolina is a good example of this, how much of the conversation and how much of the perception of Southern identity gets driven by people who are not Southern? Obviously, there's a lot of people buying second homes from the North, a lot of people who have moved here from the North. I'll include myself in that. How much of the conversation and, again, the perception of Southern identity is driven by people who are not Southern?
I think a lot of it is driven by folks who aren't Southern in a few different ways. So one, in the focus groups, we kind of ask people, you know, again, about being Southern, what it means to them, people of different races, ages, genders. And a lot of the way they would talk about it is a response to how, in their words, Northerners perceive them. So people, whether white or black, would bring up Jon Stewart making fun of Southerners. They would bring up TV shows that make fun of Southerners, kind of pushing back a little bit, this kind of back talk idea. But I think also when folks come to the region, sometimes they too start to identify with the region. So we can think about assimilated Southerners, to steal a term again from the sociologist John Shelton Reed, people who move from other parts of the country but then consider themselves Southern once they get here, perhaps. And they too can have certainly ownership over the term and over the idea of being Southern. So being Southern in a lot of ways is an attitude, it's an identity, and what that means is you can choose to identify or not identify. Just because you may have a residence that puts you in the South doesn't necessarily mean that you're Southern, and just because your residence puts you outside of the South doesn't mean that you are not Southern as well. So I think this interplay between folks that are from the region and not from the region has defined and will continue to define what it means to be Southern in 2020 and going forward.
Those who want to read more, how can they buy the book?
They can buy the book. I would go to the UNC Press, University of North Carolina Press website, or you could probably head down to Malaprops. I think they have some copies, or maybe City Lights in Silva, or whatever your local bookstore is.